So let me read. Let's read right. Let's just get right into the scripture, guys. This is. I'm going to read something that you've read a lot of times, and it's going to just be okay, fine. This is no big deal. No big deal. First, Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Oh, wow, cool. Yeah, cool. We're going to have to get a grip of this. Like, we're going to, like, stop and really think about this. If God is here, if he's in this room, if he's in our lives, why are we so totally devoted to finding joy in other things and not him? Why are we so totally devoted to finding joy in everything but him? I mean, think about it right now. You're always seeking joy in so many other things rather than him. If he's here, why are we seeking it everywhere else? This is the total outrage of the universe, is that we seek pleasure and satisfaction and joy not in Jesus. This is the outrage of the universe, that the universe declares the wonders of God, the wonders and majesty of God, the goodness of God, and we go to the world rather than the Creator who made it all and made it beautiful and wonderful, and we feel empty and depressed because we're seeking in other things. It's like we're in a buffet and saying, I'm hungry, a free buffet. We're in a pool going, I'm thirsty. Like, we have God with us, and this can change everything. It can absolutely change the way we live. And I remember being in Boy Scout camp. I was first time away from my parents. I was probably 12 or 13, and a week away from my mom and dad, I like really miss them bad. And there's a family week on Wednesday where they come and share a meal with you, but my parents couldn't make it. And I was seeing all the families eat, and I'm just like crying in my tent because mom and dad can't make it. All I wanted was to be with them. I didn't even care about the food. I just wanted their presence. I wanted to be with them. I wanted to just commune with them. You know, like, be with mom and dad, be with my family. So this, to me, what I'm talking about today is like the most important fight. And that is the fight to be with God and long for him and have joy in him more than the world. Like, this is the fight. Emmanuel, God with us. Great, one of the greatest miracles of all. I've been trying to grasp this because you have the oceans, even the darn lake. You look at it and you go, man, I'm really small. You have the stars. You look at I went to Montana, those massive mountains, you're just amazed. And then you look at the galaxies and the cosmos, and it's expanding so fast. And if I said, what if we took all of that and confined it to an infant? That's impossible. That's insanity. Yet we have a God who says that he holds the universe in the palm of his hand, and he has become a child who cries and can bleed and can be hurt, you know? This is an unbelievable fact. And this Emmanuel, when you look at even the Hebrew and Isaiah and then the Greek and the passage we just read, Emmanuel, it just means closer than you could imagine. It's not now and then, it's always. It gives that thing like he's always with us. He's always here. And I just wonder why we don't live in this reality more. He introduced himself to us. But we're looking in the other way. Why don't we turn? If he's introducing himself through Emmanuel, God with us, why are we rejecting him? And it could be a lot of things. And just because I like to, let's look at the cross for just a second. What did he do? He came as a child. And more than that, it's just, he lives a perfect life. And I'm amazed that he loves everyone. You ever meet annoying people and you're like, I don't want to hang out with them? He wants to hang out with everybody. It's just amazing. He loves everybody. And he loves us enough, not just to come in human flesh, live a perfect life, be in human form, but then he decides to take all of our shame and guilt. I just think sometimes, man, I do things and say things. I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And you just feel so almost guilty and mad at yourself. Why did I say that? Why did I think that? Why did I do that? Maybe you've had to feel that, just complete regret. And I think what's so powerful about the cross is that he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So he felt all sin. He became sin for us. He felt all of that guilt, all of that shame, not just yours, but the entire universe. So he's broken in his body, but broken in his spirit even more. Oh, Father, why did you forsake me? Like, he felt the weight of sin. And I just think he felt the whole weight. Just think for a moment, the sin that you just feel like, why did I ever do that? And the weight and shame that it put on you. He felt the whole world's shame. The whole world's shame. So that we could become the righteousness of Christ, the perfection of Christ, be freed from shame and guilt. Emmanuel, God with us. This is our shout. This is our cry. This is our victory. Because without Emmanuel, God with us, we don't have Savior Jesus on the cross and the resurrection 3 days later. This is how we win. This is how we continue. This is how we are filled with joy. This is the treasure. The treasure is Emmanuel, God with us. The treasure is the Savior on the cross, bleeding and dying, rising from the dead. This is our strength. It's all around this. And I just think sometimes we've read it and heard it so many times, they just say, oh yeah, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Ha! No big deal. It's huge. It can change everything. It doesn't just keep you from sinning. It's like, this is God with me. Why do we not get it? I'm the same way where God's with me. God's with me. So he died, rose again, and then he sent his Holy Spirit. I kind of think of it like when I had a baby. No, I didn't have a baby. My wife had a baby. And then I go to work like a week or so later. And those 8 hours are so slow. You're like, I just want to go home and see the baby. You know what I mean? I just want to go and hold the baby. The baby doesn't give me anything. Doesn't offer me anything except its cuteness and its pooping, you know? I feel like that's Jesus. On the cross, he's like, I gotta go. It's better if I go. It's better if I go. And they're like, we don't want you to go. We don't want you to go. It's better if I go, because then I can be with everybody. Like, he wants to hold each child, even though we have nothing to offer him, nothing to give him. He wants to send his spirit to each of us because he wants to be with us. He misses us. He loves us. He adores us. And it's unbelievable. This is what's crazy. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says that we are bought with a price. And that we are the temples of the living God. We're the temples of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in our bodies. Oh, you got the verse. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Not just Emmanuel. This is Emmanuel on a different level. So one of the greatest miracles is that God who holds the universe in the palm of his hand becomes a child. Now he goes and is now seated at the right hand of God. And now one of the other greatest miracles of all, the God of the universe now lives in each of us if we follow Christ. Insane. We are the tabernacle of the living God. Where we go, God's presence go. Where we are, he is at. I kind of think of it like almost like overflowing. So there's this passage in John 4, and we're not going to read it. But if we come to grips with this, that God is with us every second, and he dwells within us, it keeps everything at bay. Doesn't keep you from lying and being greedy, it gives us so much joy. It's like we're living with the treasure. We're living from the treasure. It's like the woman at the well where she meets the Messiah, and then he says, I'm not going to give you something to drink. I'm going to give you living waters, and it's going to bubble up and flow out of you. We carry the Holy Spirit with us. Where we go, he goes. We're called to be the aroma of Christ, the ambassador of Christ, reflecting God's glories. I love what these monks say. These monks back in the day, and these chaplains, called it bearers of the presence of God. Kind of quoting 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it's like we're reflecting God's glory from one degree to the next. And so as they're going, they're believing God's going with us, and we're carrying God's presence. We're being carriers of his glory and reflection. And there's a good quote. There's a good quote. John Piper. To love... Wait. Pull that John Piper quote up. Do you have that John Piper quote? Okay, pull that up. Love is the overflow of joy in God that meets the needs of others. He's talking about the church in Macedonia where they have hardly anything. And this is what overflows is... Love is the overflow of joy in God that meets the needs of others. When we're satisfied, filled with the joy of Jesus, that's what overflows. The woman at the well, so overflowing with living water, it's what comes out. Another quote, we just got to read it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Okay, those who carry Jesus' word receive one last promise for their work. They have become Christ's co-workers and helpmates. They are to be like Christ in all things. Thus, for the people to whom they go, they are also to be like Christ. With them, Jesus Christ himself enters the house that takes them in. They are bearers of his presence. They bring people the most valuable gift, Jesus Christ, and with him, God the Father, the fruit of their works and their sufferings. Every service done to them is done to Jesus Christ himself. I like that. I like that because when I go to work and I'm with all these little crazy elementary kids, I'm going bringing Jesus. I'm ready to talk about him. I'm ready to show that love. I'm ready to show that patience because he's with me. See, being the tabernacle of the living God, being the one who carries his presence, that his presence lives in you, it literally starts to affect your day because you go, I'm Jesus to the world. I'm meant to reflect Jesus to the world. In Corinthians, it says also, I'm meant to be the aroma of Christ. When people are around me, they should sense, why do you have this joy? Why do you have this love? And you might go, I don't have it. Well, it's because we need to be overflowing with more of him. And we need to be finding satisfaction and joy in him. We need to be gazing at the treasure. Like, this is what the Holy Spirit does. It makes us caught up in his stuff rather than our stuff. And I get tired of it. I mean, Christmas, I like Christmas. It's good, but I kind of get tired of it being always about us. I'm kind of sick of it a little bit where I'm just like, oh, we get little things. I mean, who wants to open a present alone? Nobody. But also, who wants to just have presents? I mean, a lot of people like presents. But I'm just trying to point the picture like, why is it all about that stuff and not about just enjoying him, our lives? I mean, just any day, about the next thing. I want it to be fixated more on the treasure and being filled with that joy because it then starts to affect the people around. I remember being on night shift for like three, I was on night shift for a long time and it was brutal. I was depressed real bad. And I was with all these guys, blue collar guys. I was the IT guy, but I worked with all the maintenance dudes and they're just tough crew to be around, all right, for at night, you know. And I just kept remember going, God, please, I wish you were here instead of me. Like, I wish you could witness to them instead of me. Like, why can't it be you? And I remember I read the Legion where there's a man filled with demons and then Jesus sets him free and he's like, can I follow you? And he's like, no, go to the Decapolis and go tell them what I've done. So Jesus just went to that region and they rejected him quick. Get out of here, we don't want you. And he sent this guy who just was, you know, naked, running around, breaking chains, crazy man. You know what I mean? Insane. And he goes, no, you go. And then 2 years later, you know, Jesus comes back and the whole region is hungry for him. And they're like, hey, come teach us, come teach us, come teach us. And it's because of that man's witness, the crazy man's witness. And I remember he showed me that story and he said, Parker, you're gonna have a greater witness than me there. And just like that story. Like you might be wanting Jesus to come and witness to your coworkers. You have the greater influence because he chose you right now to be there. If Jesus knew it, he would have chosen them to be back when he was around. Like he knows you are the tabernacle and will have the greater influence because you're gonna reflect his glory. You're gonna get them hungry to be like, I wanna be taught by Jesus. I need to be taught by Jesus. I need to know Jesus. And it's gonna be through your witness. And I think that's powerful. That every house, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer goes, we're going with the presence of Jesus. And then I like how he's also like, it says, if you love the least of these and serve the least of these, Matthew 25, it's as if you're serving Jesus himself. This is, I like it so much because it's like when I'm serving people, even the atheist that was just like walking away from me, making me feel embarrassed yesterday, I just thought, oh, it just felt good because I'm loving her and asking those weird questions for Jesus. And I'm trying to see her as Jesus, like, you know what I mean? Of like, I want to love her as if it's Jesus himself. I remember a poor guy stopped because I was like, I kept driving by him like every day because he stays in the same spot. I'm like, why are you here? You're making me feel things. I don't want to feel. And I remember driving by and just feeling like the Holy Spirit said, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. I'm driving by Jesus. I'm driving by Jesus. And for like weeks. And then I was like, I gotta go talk to this guy. So I finally park and I'm like, hey, I bring him food. I'm like, and I just told him what I was thinking. I feel like you're Jesus. I know you're not Jesus. He's like, I'm not Jesus. And so it was this funny moment. And I like, but the scripture says to love everybody and as if they're Jesus. And he's like, that's cool. And I was like, here's food. He's like, I'm vegan. I'm like, oh man, sorry. And I'm like, so I went and, but we started building a relationship because he, you know, so I started being vegan food, you know, and then because I want to be that tabernacle. I want them to sense the love of Jesus, but I also felt like I'm just loving Jesus, and it feels so good to be like, Jesus, I'm loving you even beyond I'm loving this guy. And you know, the presence of God is like the greatest riches. And I think even the homeless ministry I've done, the greatest thing is not the sandwich they get, but you know, you sitting with them, eating with them and talking with them, treating like a human. That's what makes people feel loved, is your presence. Because I think it's kind of the presence of Jesus. I mean, when we look at these scriptures, I think Christians should just want to be with them because you can sense joy and life and freedom. And you might think, that's not me. Well, yeah, that's not good. But maybe we can talk about that in just a second. So maybe that really isn't you. Maybe I just got to answer that right now. So you're like, I don't feel joy. I don't feel happy. I don't feel like I want to love people. I can't even love my dog. You know, that's how I feel. I don't like dogs, I found out. We have one. I love my wife though, and she loves the dog. So, you know, maybe you're like that. I don't really care for people. I don't got time for people. You just don't. Well, I would ask, maybe kind of like the beginning, what are you devoted to? What are you devoted to? What are you devoted to? Ooh. No one likes that question. I don't like that question. I think we a lot of times want to use Jesus like a quick fix, like an insurance policy. Like, okay, good, Sunday, check. Through the week, check. Jesus, done. But he's not a quick fix. You got to integrate him. You know, like you just hear his teachings and then the crowds leave. What, there's like 12 that stick around with him to actually adopt his teachings. I think of that John when he's like, I'm the blood and the body. You got to eat my body and drink my blood. So I was like, dang, that's a hard teaching. He's like, you're going to leave me too? So the point is you can't just hear Jesus, you got to integrate him into your life. I call it like almost like the art of growing in love. The art of growing your love for Jesus, growing the treasure. I liked instruments. I liked music. You know, you listen to music, and I did. I thought, I like this. And then I started listening to more, and I was like, I like this pretty a lot. So then I wanted to play the music. So I got the easiest instrument, no bash to bass players, but I was like, let's get a bass, four strings, and I started playing a little bit of music. And I was like, oh, I feel it. Then you started feeling it. And then you're playing. And then you are like experiencing it. And you're like, this, I love this. And I got to get another instrument and play it. And it starts to grow that love. That's all I can tell you. I think whatever you're devoted to is what you're loving most. So if you're devoted to business and money, you will think about business and money. If you're devoted to sex and relationships, you're going to be thinking about the next hookup and the next person you meet. Whatever you're really focused on, that's what you're devoted to. And I'm saying the way to grow in more love with Jesus is to start devoting yourself to him, not legalistically, but it's to study about him. Like I studied music and I learned the circle of fists. I was like, this is what? And it's, you study the word of God. You learn about him. You learn that he holds the cosmos into the palm of his hand. You learn that he's with you every second of every day. You learn that he died on the cross, rose from the dead, and now seated on high, and that he's preparing a place for you. You start to dwell on those facts. You start to sing to him. You start to be around people who love him and talk about him. And you start to go, whoa, I love him. And then you start to experience him in prayer. And you think, I found no greater joy than in this moment. And nothing else that anyone ever offers me, nothing else. I have never found a richer moment than in prayer. And I'm just going, you are the best thing. Hallowed be your name. Your name's the greatest. You're the awesomest. And it just brings joy when you see the treasure. I mean, this is just how we grow in loving him. And grace, Dallas Willard says, grace is not opposed to effort. Don't hear what I don't say. I'm not saying we're against legalism. So if you're doing things to earn God's favor, earn his love, earn his grace, earn acceptance, evil, demonic, awful. But if you're doing it because you start to realize, man, I have nothing and I sense there's something in him. And you say like Paul, I want to strain with every effort, everything to obtain that prize. I want to strain forward to obtain that prize. There's nothing wrong with that. So devotion is huge. Devotion is huge. And I just sensed this, even as I was preparing this, that some of you, it's not a measure of devotion or things like that. It's more the situation you're in. And here's the tough thing. God will not change your situation. He doesn't promise to change your situation. He promises to change you. And that's hard to accept. But he promises to transform your life, not transform your situation. And I just think, man, but if we're looking at the treasure, if we're experiencing the treasure, the no greater joy than just being in his presence, man, the situation just makes us stronger. The situation just brings us to our knees. The situation just brings us to Christ. It helps us to focus and strengthen ourselves in him and nothing else. Don't beg that he changes your situation. Beg, change my heart. Give me a new heart. Give me new desires. Let me see the joy that is set before me, Christ the treasure. Beg for that. Beg to him to change your life, to change your heart, to transform you, give you a new heart, new mind, because the world wants to conform, right? 16 hours a day, we're in the world. It's training to conform us. That's what Paul says in Romans 12. It's conforming what you're listening to, what you're watching when you're at work. Work does not make me want to love Jesus more. Does it to you? Hey, you got a great job if it does. No, it makes me think of the world. It makes me think of how to do things that the world does. 16 hours a day, it teaches me. But Christ promises transformation. World wants conformity. Christ wants transformation. This is Romans 12. So we pray to have a transformed mind, a transformed heart. We live in that reality. And it comes from gazing at the treasure. Man, he's with us. I just want to go back. Emmanuel, God with us. He is with you in that situation. Jesus was a real good guy, right? And he had an easy life. No, he was poor. Carpenter, poor. Man of many sorrows. He lost friends and loved ones, and family, and eventually abandoned by all and sold for 30 pieces of silver to be tortured and killed. He can understand your situation. He can meet you in your situation because he is a God who's with us, even in our pains, even in our sorrows. He's felt those things too. And that's powerful, that he's with us even in that. This is our cry. God is with us. Let's have the band come up. God is with us. If he's with us, my challenge is let's be with him. If he's introduced himself to us through Christ, through Emmanuel, through God with us, we should turn and repent and introduce ourselves to him. Say hi to him. He's at the door and knocking. He's not busting it down. He's waiting for you to open it. So either reject him as an insane teacher, like C.S. Lewis says, or see him as Lord of your life. Because he can't be one. One third of the world basically believes in his teachings have affected cultures upon cultures. I mean, some of his teachings affect, they just have such depth to them. But he can't just be this little person we think about. No, we got to integrate him into our lives. He has reign over all things. So I want to end. God is with us, let us be with him. Let us see the treasure of Emmanuel, God with us. And he starts the book of Matthew off with this, chapter 1, God with us. And the last words he speaks to his disciples before his ascension, y'all remember? It's pretty good. He says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the greatest treasure. And if we can't see it, we can't see it. We better beg God, show me.